This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we take you inside the cheese production facility at Mount Townsend Creamery on its last day of operation. And we talk with the employees and creamery co-founder Ryan Trail about the sad end of an institution that was until very recently considered perhaps the brightest light of the local food systems economy. So now, let's go inside the Compass.
From out of town, but we always stop here.
Every time we come to town. So every time. This is our last time for all
Sad.
So you're aware that they're closing, and is that why you came today?
Yeah, that's the reason why we're here.
Yeah, because it's the last day.
The reason why I stuck around with three kids was the fact that we had hope of a new facility and the hope of growth here. And so, yeah, I mean, it's devastating for, you know, those of us that have been here a while and started our, you know, lives here with our families in Port Townsend around this business.
I didn't anticipate this situation. When I got this job and when I've been working here, I have not, I didn't have a plan beyond this, really, for the next, like, 5 or 10 years.
Okay, I'll admit to a personal bias in this story. I've been in love with Mount Townsend Creamery pretty much from day one, 14 years ago. Not only because of its David versus Goliath appeal, a local small specialty enterprise succeeding in a business dominated by giants, but mainly because of their great product. Our refrigerator almost always features at least one of their cheeses, and a round of their Cirrus Camembert has been at the heart of the holiday care packages we send out to at least a dozen loved ones annually for years. So it was with shock and great sadness that I learned that the co-founders of the business that just a couple of years ago announced plans to expand and build a spanking new plant on Rainier Street in Port Townsend had decided to go out of business, and that Friday, January 31st, would be the last day of production. I had always wanted to produce a compass on Mount Townsend's operation, so, although this was not at all what I had envisioned, I arranged to go to the creamery that final morning to witness the final batch of Cirrus getting made. When I arrived, there was a small crowd of other melancholy creamery fans watching through the big plate glass windows as a solitary worker stirred the curd in the big stainless steel vats in the production room. Creamery CEO and co-founder Ryan Trail was there to meet me and hand me the plastic bag shoe covers, hairnet, and sanitary black shirt that are regulation gear for entering the sterile inner sanctum of the production facility. He sent me in alone to speak with lead cheesemaker Buddy Taylor. I asked him to outline the cheesemaking process before we moved on to talk about the end of an era.
Depending on, you know, the kind of component analysis that we get of our milk and the target of the cheese that we're shooting for, that dictates the volume that you see into the vat. The next step after that is our rendering process, which has already happened. And then that, again, forms the curd itself. And then from there, we cut, stir, dump into our block molds, move into the draining room, take care of it in there for the rest of the evening. And in the morning, we would come in, salt it. And if it's C-stack, we have another process that includes a wet ashing. And if it's Cirrus or the rest of our cheeses, it spends time into the drying room and then moved into ripening, where it spends 10 days before being wrapped. Yeah, any specific questions I can answer? I can just try to gab away if you want, but.
Well, you know, what I'm really here today is to help the town, like, mourn the past of, like, you know, it was a real institution and a kind of beacon of hope about, like, you know, the possibility of
I stayed here with the idea that we were going to have a new facility and that it was going to be worth it for my family in the end. The reason why I stuck around with three kids was the fact that we had hope of a new facility and the hope of growth here. And so, yeah, I mean, it's devastating for, you know, those of us that have been here a while and started our, you know, lives here with our families in Port Townsend around this business.
Did you move here just for this job?
Not for this job. I moved to Port Townsend because we love the area. We wanted to start having kids, and I'm from a small town originally, and this is just an area that we fell in love with that we wanted to do that in. I found this job within the first year of being here. And with a cell molecular background, this really enticed me. And I also, you know, sounds cliche, but cheese is my favorite food. So this was definitely, I was inspired by both those ideas of seeing something like my biology background, and I just have, a love for cheese already. And over the years, this has been a very happy place to work. I've been blessed with the fact that I can come to work, love what I do, and go home with a smile on my face. I mean, I understand that this can't work out, and that he's tried his best. I appreciate what him, Pam, have been able to do for this business over the years, and the heart and soul they've put into it too. And, you know, I guess, you know, yeah, 3 week notice sucks. And I get that from a business perspective and stuff, because you want to make safe product in the end. And you know, if you give people kind of a 2 month notice or whatnot, you don't know what kind of disgruntled emotions that you're going to be dealing with there. And that can equate to an unsafe product. And, you know, over the last 15 years, we've never gotten anyone sick. This is a very high risk product. And so to be able to have that kind of track record is pretty incredible.
As we spoke, Taylor used a large wire strung paddle to slice the new formed curd into 1-inch cubes. On some invisible cue, a couple of other workers, Arvo Aldwin and Derek Johnson, entered the room to arrange rows of round cheese molds underneath sluice panels that were then used to smoothly direct the flood of curd in a dozen directions into the molds as a pneumatic lift tilted and poured out the contents of the huge stainless urns. I approached Aldwin and talked to him about his job as he worked.
How long have you been working here?
Almost a year and a half. Yeah, I started last year around September. I was excited about the job. Thought it'd be a great career opportunity, and I'm just excited about making cheese. I've always been interested in dairy products. I come from construction and the food industry, and those two things together, this job is outrageously physical. It's been really hard. Overcoming the physical obstacles of the job has been immense. A lot of our cleaning and sanitation is exhausting, and cleaning and sanitation is a lot of what we do. It's the majority of what we do, actually. Scrubbing floors, scrubbing racks, cycling equipment in and out of our cleaning tank. The jack cheese is cut by hand, and the cut process is extremely intensive on like hands, wrists, and back, and arms as well. Lower back is definitely the, like, it doesn't matter how good a form you have, it doesn't matter if you wear a back brace every day, it's still back-breaking work, basically.
What's your exit strategy?
I don't have one.
You don't?
I don't have one. I didn't anticipate this situation. When I got this job, and when I've been working here, I have not. I didn't have a plan beyond this, really, for the next like 5 or 10 years.
You were really expecting this to hold you.
Yeah, and I really put my heart into it, and really tried for it to turn out to be something bigger than it apparently has become.
Leaving the production room, I passed through the crowd of damp-eyed spectators to the retail shop up front, where I met sales manager Amanda Carter, who was watching the till.
So what's your name?
Amanda.
Amanda who?
Carter. I'm the sales manager.
And how long have you worked here?
Just a little over 3 years now.
And what were you doing before that?
I've always been in like big corporate sales. So this was my first kind of introduction to a small company. It's been fantastic. It was a big transition coming to Port Townsend, also working for a small company, but it was absolutely fantastic.
So as a sales manager, you would have been the person who actually went out and sought new outlets for the cheese and basically kind of sought to expand the business, right?
Yeah, that was the plan. So 3 years ago, we were still kind of in the channel of building a new creamery and talking about expansion. So I reached out and set up new accounts and found new customers, restaurants, et cetera. And then a lot of what I did was just support our current customers and events and local outreach.
And how successful were you in that time? I mean, how much did production and sales expand over the last 3 years?
Well, we were in an interesting position in the fact that we were always seeking to expand our production volume. For the past couple of years, our production volume has been pretty maxed out. So we were making as much cheese as we could essentially make in this facility, right. So building a new creamery was part of that plan to kind of expand and increase production and therefore increase our footprint. So it's a bummer.
So I've been talking to some of the other employees, and they were all to a person, surprised when the news came, 3 weeks ago or so. It was just one day. It was like, were you part of the discussions though about ways forward? I mean, were you present in a room when the light went on?
No. It seems like Matt and Ryan kind of came to that decision themselves, and then they, personally told all of the employees. So we were all pretty surprised. It's been clear, in the past year that we have had some hurdles that we needed to learn from and overcome. But this was a surprise, for me, at least.
So do you personally have, a strategy going forward? A plan?
Not quite. I'm going to try to, I think I'll be here for the next couple weeks, and I would love to kind of close this chapter with them and provide as much support as I can and help. But fact of it is that, I have to be willing, I'm looking for a new position and need to be ready to accept that and kind of continue the march of employment, because I need to do that. So my biggest concerns about all this is obviously for all of our employees. I know that Port Townsend is a small place, and this is, I think a kind of significant blow to the local economy. So I hope we all land on our feet.
For most of the morning, Creamery co-founder and CEO Ryan Trail had been busy talking to a string of well-wishers who had stopped by. But I finally cornered him for an interview in the narrow side hallway where we could watch the final cleanup as the final batch of Cirrus was put to rest.
So describe to me, there must have come a moment. There was lots of discussions. There was talk about expansion. There was, looking at other pieces of real estate. And there was, this sort of forward momentum.
Yep.
That everybody in town felt. We looked at Mount Townsend Creamery and said, there, it's awesome. Here's this company that is really making good. And, so obviously there was some process you went through that,
yeah.
Started at that optimistic point and ended up at the very pessimistic mm-hmm. place
yep.
that we're at today. So where was that? What was that moment?
I can kind of give you a little bit of the things that led up to that. Starting 4 and 5 years ago, our plan looked pretty good for expanding. We had some decent margins and we had some untapped demand for our product, and then we found the property in town that we could build a facility. We had started years earlier looking around for different places, and we couldn't find anything else in the area that was feasible. And so we bought the property out.
What did you have to have in that piece of property? What was it that was missing?
We had a option to purchase the Brown Dairy, which was at where Finn River is now, mm-hmm. going years back. And that we were hopeful of that working out, but what we ran into there is that without a sewer system, it was going to be over $1 million just to do the water treatment side of it. So I had an extra $1 million on top of buying a 50-acre property that we didn't really need for production. Couldn't have our own dairy there. 50 acres alone wasn't enough to support that. So we bailed out. About the time we bailed out of that option, the plans for Rainier kind of were out there. So we purchased some property up there, and it was imminent that the street was going to be built. And it didn't happen imminently. It did. That process was much slower than we were originally led to believe. And then we had a year of really high milk prices that cut our margins significantly. Then we've had kind of a diminishing margins since then due to things a big one is labor costs going up, because to pay someone to live here, we had to increase our wages substantially just to keep people employed here. I've interviewed several people, you know, in the last few years that had some experience to come in and make cheese with us, and had even agreed on the positions, and then they looked at the living situation here and then bailed on us.
Because they couldn't find
an affordable place to live at, you know, what we were offering to pay.
I think we're seeing more and more that whole affordable housing crisis is like affecting every aspect of life in Port Townsend.
Yeah, and I know it's not just Port Townsend. I mean, that's happening lots of places. So that was one thing. You know, that's been kind of a continual problem for us. We fell under all the food safety regulations were significantly updated a few years ago. It's called the Food Safety Modernization Act. It's the biggest change to food production rules since 1932, so basically since the very beginning of the FDA. And there are some avenues for smaller suppliers or smaller producers to do a little bit less record keeping wise and things like that. And we are just above the margin for that small supplier cutoff. So we basically fall under all the rules and regulations as, you know, Tillamook or Darigold does. And what that means for us is just a lot more overhead and record keeping and writing food safety plans and documenting everything. You know, because the way the rules are written, if you didn't document something, you didn't do it. And so everything that we clean, every ingredient that goes into every cheese, every new employee's training, all this stuff we need to have record keeping on. We get out on our food defense, like, is our building secure from terrorists coming in and adulterating our product? There's just all, it would take dedicated staff of people to be on top of all those things. And we can't cover all the costs that it incurs at this size either. So that's...
We were talking the other day, and you told me something about that, about how quickly some kind of contamination of your cheese could actually shut your business down.
Oh, yeah. If we had... even if no one got sick, if let's say a pathogen was found in one of our products, I don't think we could recover from that. And, you know, and that's always been there. And we've always, you know, we've... Like, that has been our worst nightmare, that someone would get sick eating our product. You know, there are cheesemakers every year that go out of business because there's listeria contamination. There are some people that we know up in Vermont that just, they had listeria found in their cheese a couple of months ago, and they just closed up shop. They're just like, there's no way we can recover from this. You know, luckily no one got sick, but just the fact that you find it, then, you know, like, small companies don't have the resources to respond to that, you know.
What would the response entail?
Well, like, trying to, you know, investigate what happened, for one thing. Like, if you have, you know, you think you're doing everything right, it's hard to go through everything and figure out where did the problem happen. And then the financial burden of recalling all the product and then coming up with some solution and being out of production for a while, it's a recipe for, like, a really quick way to go bankrupt. So anyways, I mean, that's always been on our plate, though. You know, we've always been diligent about food safety, you know, to you know, with the resources that we have. And so then we're talking about the things that came along that made us decide to pull a plug on the Rainier project. The other one is milk supply. So we work with a great family farm in Squim, run by the Smith family. And the dairy business is really struggling. And when we started our business, there were a handful of dairies in Jefferson and Clallam County. So one of our real big wake-up calls was when the Bishops closed down, because we had designed our plant big enough to process milk from the Smith's farm, the Mapleview dairy, as well as, you know, our long-term plan was to work with the Bishops farm as well. So when we saw them close up shop, it was, you know, kind of like the writing is on the wall. You know, I mean, are we going to throw millions of dollars at building a new plant when, I don't know, what's the likelihood that there'll be milk in 5 years from now on the peninsula? Across the country this year, I think the number I saw was 2,800 dairies, family-run dairies, have gone out of business across the country. You know, the way that milk pricing works, there's been an oversupply. And so since like 2014,
there's been an oversupply with a continuous loss of dairies. How is that possible?
Because the bigger dairies are getting bigger and the smaller dairies are the ones going out of business. It's also true that milk consumption is going down. Cheese consumption is going up, but fluid milk consumption is going down. So, and some of that's, nut milks and just people's taste changing. Two of the largest processors of fluid milk in the U.S. have gone bankrupt in the last 3 months. Dean Foods and then Metal Gold.
Really?
Yep. So they both filed for bankruptcy. So, I mean, they're still operating, but... So it's kind of interesting because, the farmers on the one end are hurting, but also the producers on the other end are hurting too. And so the surplus of milk then has caused the price to tank. And the levels of the milk pricing have been so that most dairy farmers haven't been making money since 2014.
That's a long time.
That's a long time.
To not make money.
And so, Jefferson and Clallam County, the landscape here dictates small family farms. You wouldn't want to try to run a mega dairy here, right? So all that production has gone elsewhere, has gone to the drier side of the state. So that's
and you're
that's
not moving trend. Mount Townsend Creamery to the dry side of the
We're
state.
We're not. No. I mean, our whole brand is based off of the terroir of the Pacific Northwest. If the production was moved to the dry side of the state, it wouldn't be the same.
Can you remember sort of the moment where you said, "Okay, that's it. I'm throwing in the towel."
No, I mean it's just been a steady grind. Just getting kind of worn to a nub, all those things accumulating over time, and I equate it oftentimes to driving a crappy car that's about to break down at any minute, just like all these stresses about things that are going to happen and you're still going 60 miles an hour and at what point does it become, you just got to stop, I mean, either your car blows up and you stop, or you try to do kind of a controlled landing and make the best of it. And so, we looked at, leading up to this, we also talked to other cheese making people that we know to see if, potentially they would be interested in doing production of our products at one of their cheese plants, or doing some sort of other arrangement that could kind of
keep the brand alive.
Yeah, yeah. We worked kind of under the radar as much as we could, just with people that we had close relationships with, because, we didn't feel like going public at that point, we basically kind of put a fork in the road, that if we don't have something kind of promising by the beginning of the year, then we're going to have to wind it down, And so, we kind of reached that point, and all the way up until that point, we were working our butts off behind the scenes trying to make something else happen. So, when it came to that point, then, our first step was to tell our employees. And this is also entering into our difficult time of the year financially, too. So, our sales in January typically are half of what they are in December. And so we're usually kind of losing money for the first 6 months of the year. All our cash reserves get kind of depleted before we start increasing sales over the summertime. So that seasonality, had something to do with the timing as well. So we had to, decide to do it now or do it next year. And just the chances of something catastrophic going wrong between now and a year from now.
You're also showing me, the last time I was in here, the ways this building is actually sort of decaying, molding, falling apart.
Yeah, it's, they're all the improvements that we did here 15 years ago were, they weren't designed to last forever. We did what we could afford to do when we were bootstrapping things from the beginning. And so, now we're faced with more and more things requiring repair. We've got some major pieces of equipment that are expensive to repair. We've got a $20,000 cooling system that has been patched together so many times that, you know, it kind of keeps me up at night. Last year it went out, and I spent the whole night driving around to QFC and Safeway and buying up all the bagged ice that I could to keep all the batches of cheese that we had in the plant aging cold. So I was up all night dumping, you know, like 2,500 pounds of ice over the course of the night into our cooling system to keep the cheese cold until I could get the part here to fix the unit the next day. So, you know, we've pulled a lot of rabbits out of the hat over the years just to keep things going. I mean, we've never lost production or stopped because of mechanical breakdown, but it's like we are running around like sticking our fingers in the dike oftentimes, and it gets tiring, you know, with that and the financial strains and all the other things that we talked about, you know. So
what's next?
Well, I don't know yet. I mean, my first goal is to kind of wind this thing down. You know, it's going to take us still several months to deal with, you know, what else might happen with the equipment and the brand. You know, whether it's just parting out the equipment and selling it, or, you know, since we become public, we have also a couple other cheesemakers in the in Western Washington have approached us about potentially buying our brand and equipment. So I think that's the best outcome for us, is that happens, and you know, then the products continue. I don't know beyond that what we're gonna do, you know, personally. I have kind of a fun thing coming up, which will help give me a little bit of distance. I'm going in a road rally. I'm doing the Alcan 5000 in 3 weeks. It's an event where you drive from Kirkland, Washington, up through British Columbia, all the way through the Yukon, all the way across the Northwest Territories, up to Toktoyaktuk.
Is it a race?
It's a rally. So it's not a race per se, but there are some precision driving sections of each day where you have very specific instructions to navigate and then to drive like at a certain speed. And you get timed along the way at random checkpoints. And for every second early or every second late you are, you get penalized.
I see.
Yeah.
So you have to do it just right.
You have to do it just right.
The retail operation at Mount Townsend Creamery, located at 338 Sherman Street in Port Townsend, will remain open during regular hours through February or until they are sold out. This is Steve Evans reporting for KPTZ Community Radio News. This week's Compass was written and produced by Steve Evans. The Compass airs Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. and repeats the following Saturday at noon. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ live 24 hours a day. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Steve Evans.